Old School Lame Casual Chats is brought to you by Old School Lame, producing various content from blogs, videos, and podcasts discussing about movies, TV shows, video games, and everything else in between since 2011. You can check out the podcast on Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Radio Public, Overcast, Breaker, Pocket Cast, and YouTube. We're associated with Channel Frederator, Manic Expression, The Comic Book Cast, and The Aaron Mehta Show. Welcome to a new episode of Casual Chats. I am Patricia, and I'm here with a very special guest. She is a pop culture journalist and a huge Sailor Moon fan. You may know her for her podcast, Sailor Moon Fan Club, where she invites various people to talk about their memories of Sailor Moon. I am here with Victoria Johnson. So welcome, Victoria.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, so many years ago on Casual Chats, we covered Sailor Moon, the original 1991 Japanese animated series based off the manga created by Naoko Takeuchi. So we covered the original series, but one thing that we neglected to talk about were the movies. So today we're going to be talking about the original Sailor Moon trilogy. As of the recording of this podcast, recently it just turned 30 years old on December of 2023. So it's kind of crazy to think that it's, you know, that long ago where the original Sailor Moon came out in theaters in Japan.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. I really want them to re-release the movies in the theaters over here.
Yeah, it's actually funny because I remember this several years ago. I think it was around 20... I don't remember. Maybe it was like 2016 or 2017. Mm-hmm. Because I remember this distinctly that I think that the Viz dub had just finished doing the first incarnation of the series of Sailor Moon. Like they redubbed... Yeah, Viz Media redubbed Sailor Moon, and then they just released Sailor Moon R in theaters with the new dub, and it came out roughly around the same time as One Piece Gold and Yu-Gi-Oh! The Dark Side of Dimensions. So it was that particular week that was like, okay, which movie based off of an anime that I want to go into the theaters and tune into? Eventually, I think I did go watch Dark Side of Dimensions, and I had a really great time with that experience. I did a podcast about that, so go check that out. But yeah, I didn't have the chance to see Sailor Moon are in theaters. It was only around for just like a limited time, so I didn't get a chance to tune into it. But luckily, thanks to YouTube, you can actually watch all three movies for free with the Viz dub, and I think also the Japanese version. So yeah, if you have not checked out these three films, then please check it out right before we go into some major spoilers. So yeah, right before we get into that, I'm sure that, you know, some people are familiar with your work, but for those who don't, yeah, tell us your early history on Sailor Moon.
Yeah. So also just going back a little bit, it's funny because that I remember that week and I actually saw Sailor Moon R in theaters and One Piece Gold. So we actually saw we completed, I guess, all the anime movies that were out.
Awesome.
Between the two of us. But on Sailor Moon, I got into it super early when I was about 6 or 7. My brother just like he's always been big into anime. All my brothers, actually. I have three older brothers,
Wow.
and they grew up on, like Berserk and like Record of the Lotus War and a lot of like older Ninja Scroll, older anime. And
Oh, sure, yeah.
he was like, "There's a show coming on. I think you'll like it." And I was like, "Okay, sure." And he just like put it on, and I just remember just like immediately obsessed. From then on, just continued to watch the episodes every day on Toonami after school, and throughout, whenever I could catch it on, and when I knew it was on at 4:30, and then watch also Dragon Ball Z at the same time, and then I would skip Gundam Wing and watch Tenchi Muyo, and that was it. My life for a while it was on Toonami, just like became a super fan. Was really lucky that like my brothers, between the three of them, worked at like GameStop and Barnes and Nobles, and trying to think where else, a few other places where I would just like, oh, KB Toy Store, and so I was getting a lot of merch too, so that was also really great. And then it disappeared, and I was like, wait, where'd the show go? And was luckily able to find like DVDs when I was around 14 and rewatch it and still loved it, and then got season 5 when I was 16 and still loved it, and finally got to watch that, and just really been a lifelong fan.
Yeah. Now, for a recap of my memories of Sailor Moon. So I remember in 95, I must have been like 9 years old, and I remember that it was airing, I believe it was on USA or something like that, where it would have like this huge like anime hour where, or Japanimation as they used to call it, where they would air like various anime that they had acquired at the time. I think that's where I probably yeah, I probably got introduced to like Samurai Pizza Cats and then like reruns of Speed Racer and various other anime that was featured at the time. And I think that Sailor Moon was probably my gateway anime at that point in time because I had never seen anything like it. It was a year, probably a year or two later that I saw Dragon Ball Z. And I'll talk about that more later down the line, especially with the unfortunate passing of Akira Toriyama. But anyway, so yeah, I remember seeing these five girls kicking butt, and I was like thinking, wow, this is amazing, because I mean, I didn't really see a lot of, shows like that unless it was like She-Ra, Princess of Power, and very, and like maybe a handful of times in which like there were various other shows in which you had like a girl superhero, like maybe X-Men the animated series, in which you have like Rogue or Storm or Jubilee, fighting alongside with it. But it's like, oh, these are all girls and they're fighting off against evil, and that's awesome. And I only saw the first series when I was a kid because I was living in Philadelphia at the time. Then I moved to New York, and I wasn't able to catch it until maybe a few years down the line when Toonami started airing, but I wasn't watching it as much because I really got into stuff like Cowboy Bebop, and I got into Fullmetal Alchemist and various other anime. I did see some of the movies, but it's been a long, long time since I actually sat down and like seen the movies in its entirety. So when I did that Sailor Moon podcast, I really gravitated myself to the original series in Japanese, and I saw the Viz dub. I tried watching one episode of the Deke dub. I couldn't do it. I'm sorry. I just couldn't. It was just wow.
It's hard
And
to go back if you didn't grow up with it, I think.
exactly, yeah. And I'll talk about that when we talk about the films, but yeah, even though I had vague memories of the Deke dub, I didn't really like sit down and like watch it in its entirety. Like I said, I saw it in Japanese, then I saw it in the Viz dub because they had all of the episodes on the Viz Media website for free. And nowadays, you can be able to watch it on either Crunchyroll or even on the Viz website or on Hulu. It's become much more available now. Even Crystal is on Netflix, which is awesome because a new generation is getting into it. But yeah, now as for my thoughts on the movies when I was younger, this probably would have been around my teenage years because they started airing it a lot on Toonami. Yeah, I remember seeing R airing a lot, maybe a few times S, but Supers, I had actually never seen Supers until just literally recently. So yeah, I'm really excited to be talking about this. And yeah, without further ado, I guess we can begin. So let's talk about Sailor Moon R, the movie, which was the first of the Sailor Moon movies. Came out in December 5th, 1993. Like I said earlier, celebrated 30 years. Wow. Anyway, so yeah, the plot synopsis goes as you have a focus on Mamoru, who is visited by a mysterious boy, and he is vowing to reunite with him again and wants to bring him back and giving him a special flower so that he can be able to make him happy after being alone for so long. So the guy's name is Fiore, and he is actually being controlled by this flower so that they can be able to spread all the flowers in multiple planets so that they can be able to eventually destroy them and get their energy. Yeah, this is a major reoccurring thing in a lot of Sailor Moon story arcs, especially in the movies. But yeah, I've read a lot of, opinions on this particular movie. Now, a lot of people say that this is their all-time favorite out of the trilogy, except for one particular person, and that would be Naoko Takeuchi herself. She wasn't a big fan of this movie because she felt that it strayed away from the original, and she wasn't too keen on it, and then she became heavily involved with the later films. We'll get to that later. But yeah, this was essentially Kinohiko Ikuhara's vision when he was called in to direct this movie. He directed season 2 through season 4 of Sailor Moon, and he had a vision for this film. I really highly recommend that you check out the website tuxedounmask.com, where it actually has a commentary of him talking about the making of Sailor Moon R. The only way you can be able to get it is on Laserdisc in Japan. So if you have one of those, then good luck. But yeah, it's actually really interesting about the message that he wanted to come across with this film, about how it's about overcoming loneliness. And when you're a child and you have a really close friend, but when you grow up, they drift away and it just becomes nothing but a memory to you. So I get the interesting metaphors behind this film. So yeah, I want to know, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I really love this film. It's my second favorite actually though. But I think it's a really great film. Because it does focus more on Mamoru, Tuxedo Mask, and I agree with like that feeling of like having that childhood friend and like growing up and kind of like having it fade away, where he, I think at some point even in the movie, he's like, "Oh, I thought like I made you up. Like I thought it was like you were my imaginary friend that I made up just because I was so lonely at the time."
Yeah.
Because for those who may have not watched the movie, he meets this alien right after he's in a car accident where his parents both pass away, and he loses his memory, so he's just like completely alone in this hospital. And I think the other theme in the movie is kind of like this pa I don't know how to describe it, but maybe like a passed on like love kind of thing, because
Yeah,
now
that's
the
kind of
ending kind of.
interesting. There seems to be like a subtlety of like this long lost love, where it's like he's kind of saying, I want to take you away from Usagi because she's filling your heads with nonsense and what your real goal of what we used to be is. So yeah, there's this kind of interesting aura going on here.
Yeah, that part definitely went way over my head when I was younger, because I was just like, oh, whatever, this is a story about someone friendship. And then when I got older, I was like, I'm getting a lot of bi vibes like all around here. And I'm like, not mad at it. It actually kind of makes it a little more interesting, because there's even a point where Usagi, where she's like, this is my boyfriend, like you need to back up. And so just like her feeling like that actual like threat, like, not even thinking like, oh, you're a guy, so you guys are just friends. It's like, oh wait, no, there might be something more here. And I just thought that was just really interesting. And like just Fiore's very protective of
Yeah,
Mamoru too.
very protective.
Yeah, like it's a lot, but I get it. If you meet someone at a time where you're so lonely, then you build a bond with that person, and I think that's just something like really important people hold on to as well.
Yeah, and I think that's a really interesting interpretation if people want to, state that maybe Fiore was, leaning more towards Mamoru in a love direction. But I don't think that's what the director was going for. He was saying that he was leaning a lot more towards the fact that, Fiore, when he was young, he was drifting into the galaxy alone and lost and not knowing where he is. Finally, when he lands on Earth and he sees Mamoru and he gravitates to him because they were both lonely. And because they were both lonely, they were able to have a strong connection with one another because they were going through massive trials and tribulations that they were able to finally break apart, especially with the scene in which when Mamoru gives Fiore the flower as like a gift of saying, hey, I'm not going to forget you, you're a friend, and I'm always going to be there for you, especially when you're alone. So yeah, I think that that's what he was going for, especially with the with the discussion of what the metaphor of the movie is about loneliness, and it's about reconnecting with lost memories and overcoming what obstacles come in your way. So if people want to have that as an interpretation of what Fiore's motivation is, then that's perfectly fine. I mean, I guess it could be open in that aspect of, stating that maybe that was what his intentions were.
I could definitely see it either way. And I also really love the you know, when they show you that Usagi is the one who gave Mamoru the flower in the first place, and kind of that like passing down of love through like people, where it's like, oh, this came from you, and she probably got it from someone else, and kind of that like feeling of being we're all connected, and like, we don't have to be enemies, I guess, to a degree, where it's like we can all
Oh,
just kind of
yeah,
get
exactly.
along, hopefully.
Yeah, and I think that another thing that people have actually pointed out is that hey, the characters look familiar for some reason. And yeah, there's a reason why. There's a reason why the characters look very similar to a particular arc that did happen in Sailor Moon R was because it was being made roughly around the same time. So that's why the character designs kind of look very similar to Ale and An, especially when you go over to when they finally reach over to the asteroid and you see all the flowers surrounding them, and you see the flower, and you see the main design of the character, and you see what Fiore is. It's not too much of a surprise considering that for a lot of anime at the time, that if there is a particular character design that is very familiar, then if they're going to make an OVA or a film, then they're just going to basically like copy some bits of it and then just like rearrange the storyline. Like around the time in which when let's say the Saiyan arc was going on in Dragon Ball Z, it's like, okay, we have King Piccolo right over here. Okay, well, let's throw in Lord Slug in here. It's like, oh, you have this Namekian who just came by all of a sudden. Or okay, we have Frieza, this cool bad guy. Let's introduce his brother, Cooler. So yeah, it's the same beats. It's like, okay, we have this arc that was going on at the time. We have these character designs. Let's see if we can rearrange them into something a little bit different. So, yeah,
However,
as was the time.
my headcanon though is that they all come from the same planet, because the Doomtree Arc aliens, they also, come to, they also like, their planet's destroyed, and that's why they come to Earth. And they kind of were traveling alone as well, similar to Fiore, but they were just together. And so in my mind, I'm like, they all came from the same planet, and that's why, because they look alike.
All right then. Well, you know what? I mean, why not? I guess if we want to follow in that headcanon, I guess it kind of makes sense in the long run. I mean, especially since, that did take place around the Sailor Moon R arc. So yeah, sure, why
The Sailor
not?
Moon R movie, so yeah.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess a thing that I really do appreciate was the fact that you have Usagi who is stopping at absolutely nothing so that she can be able to rescue Mamoru. Again, emphasizing the love that she has for him, and the fact that Fiore was able to put the pieces together, saying like, "Wow, this girl who's trying to take Mamoru away is not the evil person that I thought that she was. That she, I can be able to trust her. That Mamoru is in good hands, and that she is going to love him just as much as I appreciated my friendship with him." So I actually really like that.
I think this film also really just captures like the despair that Sailor Moon can show sometimes, where that you have that scene where all of the scouts are kind of like buried under that like mound of flowers, and Sailor Moon's just kind of like digging through it and trying to like get to them, and kind of feeling that hopelessness at first, before she is like, I just need to fight you and become triumphant. Or even like when she gives her the silver crystal, and she's like, you can have this, like I just want my friends, and just that showing that sacrifice, and how she's like, I would rather have my friends than all this power and all these things. And just the power of love.
Yeah, which by the way is a song that is featured in the original Deke dub of Sailor Moon R, the movie, but is not in either the Japanese or the Viz dub, which makes a lot of sense because it was a song that they made exclusively for that particular dub.
But I love it. But yeah, I my dream is like to get like the Viz dub and the old English songs together in like a new dub. Ever became
That
like a
would be a
millionaire
lot
of those
of
projects.
hassle considering of all the rights that they have to jump into be able to have that happen. But I mean, it could be a possibility. I mean, I wouldn't say that it's not.
It's very unlikely unless like I get like Jeff Bezos's money and just do it myself somehow, just break all the laws. It's probably not gonna
Yeah,
happen.
most likely not, unfortunately, especially since we have a completely different studio working on the original dub, as well as the the Japanese are really hesitant on wanting to make sure that the every incarnation of Sailor Moon is sticking close to the Japanese incarnation. I mean, I know that back then it was not possible to do it. You have to understand, mid-90s, it was kind of hard to kind of like say or show showcase a lot of things that they were able to portray. Like, for example, let's make Sailor Uranus and Sailor Neptune cousins, or completely not airing Sailor Stars altogether. So, yeah, I mean, nowadays that seems to be absolutely ludicrous. I mean, we're getting Uzumaki on Adult Swim. I mean, I cannot imagine Uzumaki being able to air 30 years ago on Cartoon Network or any channel whatsoever. So, yeah, we've gotten a lot more lax since then. But yeah, I mean, I have to say that as somebody who is not necessarily leaning more towards like the Deke or Cloverfield dub, I do admit that some of the songs actually do fit within Sailor Moon in a way. Like, it does feature a lot of songs about love and friendship, which makes a lot of sense because of the message of what the character and the series is. So I have to give kudos for that one.
I think they did a great job with the songs.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And if and the fact that even still to this day, whenever that the cast is able to come together and they even have performances of the songs from time to time, and everybody just absolutely loves it. And it just goes to show you about how much of an impact it's left for a lot of people. So again, good on them for being able to keep within that. It's like, yeah, we can have both the original Deke slash Cloverfield and the Viz Media dub together. It's just a matter of, which interpretation you want to go into. So yeah, I would have to say that Sailor Moon R is my second favorite as well. I understand why a lot of people do love it because of its metaphors and the fact that it was the first movie of the series. And yeah, I know that a lot of people have a strong appreciation of the delivery that it was going into. And of course, when you have a case in which, like, oh yeah, it's the first of its kind, it's gonna gravitate towards a lot of people. And I think it aired the most in Toonami, from what I understand. So maybe that's why a lot of people seem to gravitate it more than, say, the other films.
It definitely aired the most. It's the one they re-released in theaters, like, and I guess because it's the first one. And I also, that's the film I tend to recommend to people if they're new to Sailor Moon and they don't want to watch, all 200 episodes. I kind of say, watch this first movie, and if you like this, you'll likely like the show.
Yeah, that's another thing that I have to mention is, like, unlike a lot of films based off of a TV show or a comic book or a series of books or something like that, like, films based off of anime is more or less kind of easy to get into. First of all, at least at the time, they were about less than an hour long, and it was able to sum up the story in like maybe a few minutes. And then you get into a standalone adventure that you don't have to worry about like having to tune into in order for you to get invested in. So, yeah, that seems to be a thing that I would b believe that probably got a lot of people into it if they haven't been familiar with the characters or with the manga, and maybe would get a little bit more invested in checking out the rest of this stuff. Whereas, say, like, I don't know. I guess maybe, recently I would say like, the Simpsons movie or the Bob's Burgers movie. Like, you really need to know about the show in order for you to get into it. Or maybe even like recent animated films that, you have to know about the story in order for you to be invested with the characters. So it's a little bit hard, especially if you're not a fan of the source material. But I would say for a lot of these films, it's actually pretty easy. So if you've never seen any of Sailor Moon, then I would highly recommend check out the first Sailor Moon movie, which is Sailor Moon R, and see if you are really interested in checking out the rest of it. All right, so let's go over to the second one. So Sailor Moon S, the movie. So yeah, Sailor Moon S, it focuses more on Luna this time, which I thought was actually pretty neat, and focusing on the fact that she has fallen in love with a guy that had rescued her when she was feeling sick. And all of a sudden, we have this huge asteroid coming in that is filled with snow and ice. And we have essentially where you have this evil princess, Princess Kaguya, or maybe she is. I mean, they don't exactly say what her name is in this incarnation. But yeah, she essentially wants to freeze the entire planet so that she can add it to her collection of other planets. So yeah, this is actually a really interesting film, especially since this is the one that Naoko Takeuchi really wanted to have a focus on, especially since the you know she was really disappointed with Sailor Moon R. In fact, this is actually based off of a manga arc called The Lover of Princess Kaguya. So it is kind of derived from part of the manga. So the fact is that since this has Takeuchi really involved with it, and not to mention that Hiroki Sabata, who was working on Sailor Moon S and Supers at the time, this is like around the time in which when Kinohiko Ishihara had not worked as much. In fact, in the next year, in 95, he left to work on Revolutionary Girl Utena after he was feeling that he was more strictly connect strict with writing his ideologies for what he thinks Sailor Moon should have been. But yeah, Sailor Moon S is probably my favorite of the trilogy.
Same. Say S is my favorite, hands down. It's just the strongest film, I think. And it's funny too, because you I didn't realize this until today, where that the first movie kind of it revolves around Mamoru, and then you have Luna, and then the third one is kind of maybe Chibiusa.
I
And
guess
it's
so.
interesting that all three of them kind of don't focus on any of the main characters necessarily, which is interesting now
That
that I'm
is a
thinking.
very interesting thing that you pointed out. Yeah, like, I mean, there's not really one that focuses on Usagi or Ami or Rei. I mean, maybe the shorts
The
do,
shorts definitely, yeah.
but not the movies, which is interesting. Maybe they thought that the other side characters maybe should have gotten more focus, but again, very interesting. Interesting idea of wanting to go into that direction. But anyway, I think it worked out pretty well.
I agree. Yeah, no complaints for me. It was just something I noticed today. I'm like, oh, that is interesting. But yeah, S is absolutely my favorite. I think it just has a lot of heart.
It does.
Luna's story with the guy she falls in love with, and
Oh,
like her just
Kakeru,
like
yeah.
and just and then his like I'm forgetting all the names right now, but his
Yeah,
the
it's
fact
okay.
that
But
he
yeah, you have Kakeru, who has always been really sick, and he had a dream about being an astronaut, about going out there and being able to see the moon and see the stars for the first time. And unfortunately, he's held back for several reasons. One because of his illness, and the other one because that he is telling his longtime friend slash lover that he has a he thinks that there is a princess named Princess Kaguya who is out there and who is able to show them the moon because she's the moon princess. And his lover, Himiko, is basically
Never.
saying, no, you're just imagining things. I guess it makes a lot of sense because she's more realistic and down to earth. And she actually works for NASA. I mean, that's what the reason why she decided to visit Kageru in the first place was because she's going to go up into space and she just wanted to see him right before she went out there. But Kaguru is very sick and, trying to convince her that there is a princess out in there in the moon. And at the same time, he's taking care of Luna and making sure that, she's doing okay because he literally rescued her from being run over by a car when she was, when she had a fever. So, yeah, there's a whole lot of things going on in this compared to the first one.
Yeah, there
Anyway.
definitely is. Sorry.
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
yeah, definitely is. Yeah, like that kind of semi love triangle going on and just feeling Luna's heartbreak because, she is a cat. And it's funny because I think telling anyone this story outside of like being a Sailor Moon fan or just or someone who's watched the film, it's like a cat falls in love with a human and you're like, what? But it's so endearing and like just her emotions really just come through in her love and care for him and just she, I think Luna's a character who kind of takes care of everybody else. And I think in this one, you kind of see her getting taken care of by somebody and her just kind of like realizing that like she likes that and she enjoys that. And she, it's nice to be to be taken care of sometimes.
Yeah,
But
especially since she has to put up with Usagi's nonsense. I mean, especially since, this takes place around winter time where they're taking winter break, and when they get back to school, they have to take their high school exam. And of course, Usagi's not studying for it. And, Luna is just feeling frustrated that, Usagi's not listening. And yeah, I think that her being taken care of for once is actually pretty nice to see, especially with a guy who has a really close connection with Luna because she just so happens to have a crescent moon on her forehead.
So it's just, yeah, really sweet. And then I think, I mean, this is probably the one of the few villains we see that isn't just trying to like collect energy, which is also interesting.
Yeah, exactly. She's just trying to freeze the entire planet so she can add it to her collection of other frozen planets.
Which is like harsh. Like you're just making museums over here of people.
I guess so. She has museums of people, aliens, other planets, rock formations. I guess, yeah. I mean, it's like the intergalactic equivalent of having Funko figurines.
I guess so. Yeah, just put us all on her bookshelf.
Yep.
But also, I think the designs though are just really cool. This is, I think, in this one actually we get a design that's pretty unique from the show, and I don't know, she just looks really cool, and I like how Angel's
Yeah,
as
Naoko
well.
Takeuchi herself was the one who designed Luna's human form, which looks really, really nice. I really do like the long hair and the fact that she kept her crescent moon. And I also really like the dress. I mean, the design itself is really nice.
It really is. It really is. I've been wanting to cosplay that look for a long time because it's just so pretty
Oh,
and cute.
absolutely.
And it just captures, I think, Luna so well.
I do agree. Yeah, it really does. It makes you sad that she doesn't have this human form more often. I mean, in the manga, there are some art, art. There's some concept art of it, and I think that we even do see what Diana looks like in her human form. But
And Artemis.
and Artemis too. Yeah, but unfortunately, we don't really get that in animation form very often.
I think they showed it in the Eternal films, but it was also very brief.
Very brief, which is a disappointment to me. But yeah, I'll talk about the Eternal film and Cosmos when I finally finish off Crystal because I haven't had the chance to yet. But yeah, I really did enjoy this film for multiple reasons. The action is really great. I really like the fact that the Guardians were able to utilize a lot more of their powers, which it makes a lot of sense because, it's S, so they were able to get more of their abilities. And, we finally get the introductions of both Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto mixed into it because, again, it does take place around S. And I do also like the fact that, we actually do get to have a focus on a story plot that isn't showcased very often, whereas the villains are just like gathering energy so that they can be able to accomplish something. Or, okay, we're gonna have a focus on love, but it's gonna be focusing on Mamoru and Usagi. But no, this time is a focus on Luna, which again, you don't get to see focus on Luna very often. And yeah, I think that they were able to emphasize more on the stakes on this one. It's like, okay, if we don't take care of this villain, the entire planet is going to be frozen completely. Whereas in the first film, yes, that is the same thing, but it was with flowers. It's like, Ice and snow is not is much more threatening than, say, flowers. Not to say that flowers can't be like threatening in their own right, but I would say ice and snow is definitely a much more higher stake to fight against.
Yeah, I'd take flowers over snow any day.
Absolutely. I mean, right now it's literally springtime, so I'm finally able to see all of the trees that had no leaves for the longest time growing flowers, which is really nice. As opposed to like back in winter, there was a huge snowstorm that was happening. I was stuck at home for an entire week and I couldn't go anywhere because it was freezing outside. So, yeah, that was a massive inconvenience. Whereas, like, okay, it's pretty hot out. All right, let me just grab a hat, put some sunscreen, put some glasses on, just go outside. And I can actually move around if I had the opportunity to do so. So, yeah, I would say that there's just a lot m more to this film than, say, Sailor Moon R. Not to say that Sailor Moon R was a bad thing. I really do enjoy it, but I think that there's a lot of things that are brought into this that I really did enjoy, like a different side of love, a different side of what to do when sacrificing for said love, and the high stakes of trying to protect the planet and trying to be able to protect those that are in it. Even the most, yeah, I really like the speech that Sailor Moon said, was that even the most significant things like plants and animals are very important to this world, and that's what makes it beautiful. I thought that that was really nice.
Yeah, like all aspects of life, not just humans.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah,
Yeah,
I really enjoyed that one.
Yeah, it's the best film. I'm happy I didn't know that Naoko had more her hands into this one over the others, so
Oh,
that's
absolutely,
makes
yeah.
me feel good. So I'm
It
like, okay,
does, yeah.
that's why it was so good.
Yeah, because she was actually more involved in it, yes. All right, so let's go over the final film in the trilogy, and that is Sailor Moon Supers, the movie. So yeah, this is actually, again, we're leaning more towards familiar territory, but instead it's kind of like a mixture between the Pied Piper and Peter Pan mixed with the Matrix. It's very interesting. So you have this little fairy boy who is playing his flute. All of the children from around the world are going into this boat, being flown off into who knows where. And there's this huge report going on that's saying that children from around the world are missing. And yeah, even Chibiusa is even captured by this. And so we have this little what do they call it, a sugar fairy by the name of Pearl, alongside with his older brother Pupilin, and they are capturing children because their queen is wanting to have all the children gather together so that they can be able to have sweet dreams and never worry about growing up or going through problems with other people. So, but in reality, she's putting them in dream coffins so that they can be able to mass this huge black hole known as the Black Dream Hole and swallow up the entire earth so that they are stuck in this forever dream, where they don't have to worry about anybody or anything, and they can just live in happiness, which is actually pretty messed up now that you think about it. But yeah, this time it's a little bit of a focus on Chibiusa this time, even though that she does get captured. But yeah, it's a little bit of a focus on her. Unfortunately, because she's captured, we don't really see too much of her. I guess, you know, there's a little bit of Chibiusa and then a little bit of Sailor Moon and Pearl, especially when they have to go rescue her over at the Marzipan Castle. So yeah, it's a it, yeah, the focus on the character is a little bit jumbled up, and again, very similar to the first movie, it's about this one thing at outer space, and it's gathering energy to destroy or take over a planet. So it's not too out of the ordinary.
Yeah, I thought so this movie actually I rewatched for the first time in a long time because I actually hadn't seen it in probably over a decade.
Oh, wow.
That I don't revisit it as often because it's always just been like the other one.
The
Because
other one.
but I rewatched it for this recording and I actually enjoyed it a lot more than I remember enjoying it.
I did enjoy it too, but compared to the two previous films, it was okay. I just thought that it does follow a little bit of the same beats, but at the same time, they are able to do some different things to it. Like, hey, you know, you have this you have this fairy boy who's playing a flute and he's gathering up
Right.
all these children. And I'm sure that it's probably the same thing. I don't know what the Deke slash Cloverfield dub sounds like, but the Japanese slash Viz dub of their song that the boy that the children are singing while getting into the boat, I cannot get out of my head. I'm
Oh
still
yes,
humming it in my
catchy.
mind.
It's fun.
It is very fun. I
Yeah.
can understand why the kids are like so happy and they're like trapped in this magical dreamland and wanting to have a whole bunch of sweets. Yeah, sweets is a major thing in all of the movies, whereas like in the first movie you can see like, okay, here is you have all of these like sweet treats and you have like in Sailor Moon Super, you have Sailor Moon S, you have what was it, Kakeru feeding Luna Kompaito, which is the star candy, and in this one it's like you have cookies and you have donuts and you have the gingerbread house from Hansel and Gretel's, like filled with the brim with sweets. So yeah, I mean, I could see that because it's like, okay, what do kids like? They like candy and they like sweets. So let's see if we can bring them into this magical world. And yeah, I can see, kids wanting to have like that opportunity. But again, I think that the thing that I really did enjoy about this movie was the message about that. Yes, it's really nice when you're looking back on memories of the past, but it's about moving forward with your life. And I really like that. I really like the fact that even though you have a show about cute girls fighting off against evil, and it's like leaning more towards a young female demographic, at least, at the time when they were making the show and the movies. But it actually has a great message that anybody can be able to gravitate to. It's like, don't get stuck in the past. Even though that it's nice to look back on what your life was like when you were younger, it's always good to keep moving forward. And yes, that it could be a little bit rough around the along the way, but it's a journey, not a destination. So again, I really like that.
Yeah, I completely agree. And like, again, like not focusing on like wanting to stay a child and like, embracing and, looking forward to like growing and, continuing your life because, there's more on the way. And, like I said, happiness is a journey. I really love that message too. And I also really like how they show the relationship between Usagi and Chibiusa. Just because like in the beginning they're bickering and even though they're mother and daughter, they're kind of like sisters. And Chibiusa is like, my cookies may look bad, but they taste better. And Usagi's like, well, my cookies look good. And then she realizes they don't taste good. And
Yeah,
that's
I really
just a
also
funny
like
thing.
the scene in which when Chibiusa is jealous of all the other girls when they were talking about memories of their moms who would like make good
Oh,
baking stuff for
yeah.
them. And then she just goes off and says, "Well, I'm jealous of all of you because my mommy makes really bad, terrible tasting cookies." And then you have Usagi just embarrassed because she knows that
Yeah.
that's her in the future. So it's
Right.
like, okay, Neo Queen Serenity, the cosmic leader of the entire moon and the entire world, and is able to bring peace into society for over 1,000 years, still not cook for the life of her.
Right. So
Yes.
relatable.
Yeah, we're
Yeah,
able
but
to
this
do some things really well, but others we can't.
Yeah, and that's fine.
It is. I really like that.
Yeah, but I really love like on the back end of the film where you see her coming to save, well, her like one being devastated when Chibiusa gets taken and that determination to get her back, and then finally when they do see each other and they have this kind of moment of like awe almost, and just like this love between them that just like is clearly like palpable, and then Chibiusa is like, you're late. It's just like back, like I can't show you, I like you too much. It's
Yeah,
just like
and I get that,
really cute.
I mean, I understand that at least in this anime interpretation of the characters, not the manga, because
Right.
the manga was a little bit like that in the beginning, but once the reveal of, oh, Chibiusa is Sailor Moon and Tuxedo Mask is Child from the Future. Wait, what? So
Right.
then that's when they got a stronger relationship with one another. But again, I can understand because at the time, when the manga and the anime were going on literally at the same time, I guess they had to stretch out that particular relationship to, that they had towards one another. And I guess even after they revealed that plot twist, they still kind of like held that that petty relationship that they had for one another, even though that was literally like in the beginning of that particular arc. But I'll probably go into more about my personal thoughts on the anime's interpretation compared to what the manga was. I'll get that to that in the future. But I would say that I think one of the reasons why people really gravitate towards the original 90s anime, as opposed to when Crystal was able to bring it back, was because they were able to flesh out the characters a lot more. Like, if you look back on, say, the original manga, there were some things that they didn't have animated, or there were some things that were a little bit rushed and didn't have time to fully develop compared to like a lot more episodes of the original anime. And taking what little elements that they were in the original manga, they were able to flesh it out a little bit more. And I think that's why a lot of people really like the interpretations of what the characters were. They were able to fall in love with them because we got to spend a lot more time with them as opposed to in the original manga, which I can understand that. And I think that for the movies, it really emphasizes that.
Yeah, I would completely agree with that. Like, some people call them the episodes kind of like filler to a degree because, it's not in manga, but at the same time, like, those episodes make you grow with the characters a little bit more and make you spend more time with them, literally more time with them as you're watching 200 episodes versus, I think Crystal's like,
13 each.
yeah, like it's versus 40 each season. So yeah, I think it does feel a little bit rushed, and I do really love the old 90s version just for that reason, where you get more time with the characters and kind of like get to see their personalities and them interact. Because for me, I think that's part of the charm and the love I have for Sailor Moon is just kind of seeing like girls being girls and going through the day-to-day life things, but also just being badass and like fighting villains and being really cool.
Yeah, that's actually really interesting. Like when you think about like, oh, this is a filler episode, people just kind of like take it in a negative way. It's like, oh, this episode's not important because it has nothing to do with the story. And when people look back on, say, the original anime of Dragon Ball Z or Fullmetal Alchemist, in which they had to change a lot because the anime and the manga were going at the same time, then you have the likes of Dragon Ball Z Kai and then Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood, in which those are actually more revered because they stuck close to the original manga and they saw that, hey, this was actually a lot better than whatever the writers were able to come up with. But with Sailor Moon is the complete opposite, in which, like, no, people actually like when the story arcs are a little bit more stretched out and there were some things added to it compared to the manga because, we actually got to spend a lot more time with the characters. We had to see a lot more of their personalities and we actually got to enjoy their wacky antics. I mean, the fun, goofy side plots were just as engaging as the adventures. And I think that's why a lot of people tend to lean more towards the 90s anime than as recent as Crystal, in which, like, yes, even though that is what Naoko Takeuchi's story was in the beginning, here's the thing, we only get to spend very little time with them, and they're only like a quarter of what we got to know about them. And yeah, I mean, I would say that if you really want to get the true essence of what the characters are, yeah, the anime does really help a lot with that, and especially the movies.
I would completely agree. Yeah, I think the movies really just like, I don't want to say summarize, but they definitely capture each season pretty well, in a way that just like if you I wouldn't say skip any season, but I think like if you wanted like a summary of a season, you'd be like, this kind of captures that same feeling. And I think they match with the seasons really well too. Also, we get another kind of similar character design with Pearl and Helios as well, which I
Yeah,
think is really funny.
exactly. Very similar relationship too, in which, like, she has Chibiusa has a really strong crush on Pearl, very similar to how in, Sailor Moon Supers, in which she actually just get dreams of Helios as a unicorn, and then eventually she starts falling in love with him. So yeah, I take it that this is probably what they were working at around the same time. It's like, okay, Chibiusa has this boy who has white hair and who's magical. Let's see if we can have something similar to that. So I can see what they were trying to do with this.
Yeah, I also found it funny because just this one's more fresh in my mind, just because I just watched it this week. But I was like, wow, she really fell in love with like a Pegasus and a fairy. And I'm like, oh, some bad luck.
Yeah, that's actually pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, I really like the fact that again, very similar to the previous films, that Usagi is stopping at nothing so that she can be able to save, in this case, Chibiusa and the children from around the world from being overtaken by this huge black dream hole. The scene that I really do love is the scene in which when she is captured into the black dream hole and then she has that dream with her and Mamoru together. And, you know, she is asking the questions like, who do you like more, me or Chibiusa? And then, you know, the dream, Mamoru says, oh, I like you. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And then she realizes that she is stuck in that dream because, you know, she knows that Mamoru likes Chibiusa just as much because, well, I mean, that's their daughter in the future.
Right. Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, why do you? And then when Mamoru mentions about, like, oh, well, you don't care about the other children, let's just care about each other. It's like, okay, now that's definitely not Mamoru. So I really like the fact that Usagi was able to break out of that spell by herself, where ordinarily she'd either be saved by the guardians or she would be saved by Tuxedo Mask, which again, this, you know, Tuxedo Mask is sir not appearing in this film. So yeah,
Yeah.
I really do like that scene for sure.
I agree. Yeah, I really love that because, like, you're it's a good point because in the earlier you see her kind of get swept up in that sweet dream where she almost eats the donut that's actually like a what is, I mean, like rings up from the
Yeah,
child
like, well, yeah, one of
playground.
those, like, yeah, like those rings that you get in the
Like monkey
playgrounds.
bar
Yeah.
kind of means, yes, anyway. And like obviously she needed help breaking out of that one, but I like that. I also like the fact that she was able to break herself out of that spell by just noticing that like Mamoru was off and like he wouldn't say that, and you know he's not that person. And rather than like, because you know I think earlier in the film she asked him that, and she's clearly very like insecure and jealous with Chibiusa, and the dream is clearly showing like her innermost like desire, but it's also like deep down, like you don't actually want him to be like that because he probably wouldn't be a great person if he was like that. So, yeah, I thought that was really cool too, like her breaking out of that dream herself. It was something else I was just thinking of, but I forgot it. So hopefully it comes back.
Now it's actually interesting that out of the three films, Sailor Moon Supers didn't make as much money compared to the previous ones, where again, according to Tuxedo and Mask, he pointed out that the box office for both all three of the Sailor Moon films were as such. So Sailor Moon R made the most. It made about 1.3 billion Japanese yen. Sailor Moon S made 1.5 billion Japanese yen, and Sailor Moon Supers only made 600 million Japanese yen.
Wow.
And the average budget for these films at the time were 475 million Japanese yen. So they felt that, okay, Sailor Moon Supers, the movie, didn't justify us making a movie based off of Sailor Stars. And again, according to Tuxedo Mask, he even pointed out that the TV ratings for Stars were much, much lower compared to the previous seasons of Sailor Moon, which I guess at that point in time, they can see that the popularity of Sailor Moon was just at a complete end. So I guess that's why they decided to just stop it right there, which I would have been that would have been really interesting to see a Sailor Moon Sailor Stars movie. I don't know what that would have been about. That would have been a whole bunch of characters added into it, but I mean, I'm curious to see what they could have come up with.
Oh, that would have been so interesting. I didn't know that about the but not the budget, the how much money he made. So it makes sense why they didn't continue it. And I also love Tuxedo en Masse, like their his poster was great.
Yeah, for sure.
But
Yes.
yeah, that's so sad. Because yeah, I'm
Yeah, it
wondering
is
like would
sad.
they do something with Mamoru and Seiya, or would it just be Seiya? Like what would that look like?
I have no idea, but yeah, the only time in which we ever got a film was with Cosmos, but that's just essentially like, okay, here's the manga of the final arc and just put it into a movie, as opposed to like a
Right.
standalone story based off of said anime, based off of the manga. So I
Yeah.
guess we'll never know.
Yeah, I feel like that's just Sailor Moon Crystal season 5 in movie form.
Yeah, th that's essentially what it is.
Yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, those are the three Sailor Moon movies. I have to say that looking back on them, I really did enjoy what they were able to do. I like the fact that each of them were able to have a story arc that not only carries on what the previous arc was able to do, but also have a standalone story. And I like that each of them were able to have a message. Like one was about loneliness and friendship, the other one was about love, the other one was about not getting stuck in the past and moving on with the future. So I really like the fact that they were able to branch out with the typical Sailor Moon arc where it's always about like love and friendship and overcoming evil and stuff like that. So again, I really like the fact that they were able to break out and do some new stories with it. And yeah, it's a shame that we didn't get any more movies until 26 years later when Crystal decided to do movies based off of the manga as opposed to like having standalone features. But you know, I mean, as of right now, Cosmos was the last film that came out, just came out like a few years ago. So, I wouldn't be surprised if maybe we'll get even more films in the future if they decide to go into that direction. But I guess at this point in time, we won't know until we get more information coming down the line. So you never know what you know the future holds.
Yeah, I would love a new standalone film. I think that would just be so cool, and at least in the theaters. I also remember what I was going to say, just quickly on Supers. I really love the introduction of Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto in this film. Like, it got me all very excited because, like, and it was just like, oh, this show is so good.
Yeah.
Just from their because it I love and same thing with they had a moment with Tuxedo Mask where like you think like all is lost and then it's like boom there's someone new here to help and then
I
I
like the I like the S introduction where he's dressed up as Santa Claus.
oh my God, amazing, he's so dramatic and I love it.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, so that's our thoughts on the film. So any final thoughts right before you go, right before we go?
I love the films. Now that I've rewatched Supers 2, just I have to give it its props. I think it's definitely still number three, but it's higher up. For sure. Just yeah, great films overall. Highly recommend them, all three. Also I did screenings in New York at a local bar of the first two films, and I gave away roses in the first one for the first one, and then I gave away star candy for the second film. So if anyone has any ideas for the what I should give away for the third film, please let me.
I have an idea. You should give away Chibiusa's cookies.
Oh, that's such a good idea. Because
Yeah,
I
there
was
you
actually
go.
thinking the bonbon candies that attack them.
Oh, that's actually a really good idea too, though.
But I like the cookies. I like the cookies. I would probably have to bake them, but I can figure that out.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, like get hearts and bunny cookie cutters and then go out of town.
Yeah, and I can put them in little baggies like she gave to Pearl. Oh, I like that. Okay.
Yeah, awesome. All right,
Perfect.
then. Well, Victoria, thank you so much for coming on by. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. This is great.
Yeah, so why don't you plug and promote your stuff?
Sure. Yeah. So I'm Victoria, host of the Sailor Moon Fan Club podcast. You can listen to the podcast anywhere you listen to podcasts. Wherever you're listening to this podcast, you can also listen to my podcast. You can find me at Miss Old School on Twitter and Instagram. And then if you want to follow the podcast, we're at Moonies Club on Twitter and Moonies underscore club on Instagram. And then I'm on TikTok too sometimes at Sailor Victoria.
All right. And as for me, you can check out my work, which is at oldschoollane.net. I have a YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/oldschoollane, facebook.com/oldschoollane. I'm on Twitter at patty_b_miranda. I'm also on Blue Sky at patriciamiranda.bluesky.social.app, whatever they call it. I don't know. I'm also on Instagram at old_school_lane. I have a podcast called Casual Chats. I have a whole bunch of different podcasts that I do, such as PixMix, where I talk about Pixar films, Dream Machine, where I talk about DreamWorks films, and various other podcasts that I do alongside with my co-hosts. You could check those out on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Radio Public, Amazon Music, all those places. New episodes of the podcast will go there first, and then it'll go up in a few days on YouTube. Thank you so much for tuning in, everyone. Let us know in the comments below. Out of the three original Sailor Moon movies, which one was your favorite? Which one was your least favorite? And yeah, we also want to give a shout out to the 30 years of the original Sailor Moon R that came out in theaters back in December of 1993, and literally just recently there was the 32nd anniversary of the anime that came out. So yeah, let us know about your favorite Sailor Moon memories. That's it. Hope to see you around soon, and take care.